Oh, hi. I'm Kaylee Moore.
And I'm Paul Jarvis.
And we have helped over 2,300 freelancers in our creative class learn clear and actionable steps to build a long-lasting freelance career they both love and enjoy.
And this is the Creative Class Podcast, a podcast for freelancers by freelancers. Hey, that's us.
Yay!
Hooray.
Hey, let's start the show.
The Creative Class Podcast is sponsored by our friends at Monday.com.
Monday.com is a team management tool that's perfect for freelancers who work together to get projects launched.
You can sign up for a free trial today at monday.com/creativeclass. And Creative Class is all one word, no dashes or spaces. You'll also receive 25% off any paid plan once the trial has expired. Today, I want to talk about productized consulting. I feel like a lot of these episodes, I've just started talking about the topic, but not said the topic for like a minute or two, which could be annoying. Maybe it's not. Maybe I just got in my head about that. But so I wanted to talk about productizing consulting or productized services, because I see that as a trend. I don't think I really saw that much many years ago, but now it seems like there's a bunch of people who are doing services as products. And oh, I actually just thought of another good example that I'll bring up during the show. So stay listening to this show. I guess I'll start by kind of giving a, let's start by defining what we think productized consulting is and then kind of get into talking about it. So what would you say is a productized service? Because you initially said in your notes that you don't have any firsthand experience, but I do think you have a productized service. So how would you define that?
So I think it can be a couple of things. One, it can be the traditional product in that it's something like, a good example would be like an ebook or a template or a checklist that you sell, and it's literally a product. So then if you look at the productizing services type thing, that would be when you take something that you do kind of on a regular basis or that you get lots of requests for and turn that into almost a mini project that people can buy from you kind of on demand. So for me, that's things like consulting for messaging strategy documents or consulting for how to choose a writing niche and things like that. And so that's usually like a 30-minute or 60 or 90-minute time commitment where somebody's literally paying you to kind of pick your brain. I hate that saying, but to literally like, you know, sit down with you and walk through the strategy of a very specific thing.
Yeah. So I think for me, it would be pretty much that. Like a productized service would be something where you charge kind of the same amount of money for and people get the same outcome. I'll just talk about an example because I think an example really gives a clearer picture. So I think your example is good. And then an example of something like website, week of website. My friend Kelsey does this. And so basically what you do is you get a website done in 1 week and it follows a set process. So day one is discovered, day two is designed, day three is build, day four is edit, day five is launch. And it has a set price and it's a very set process. And every day you know exactly what's happening. And you know by the end of it, in 5 days, you're going to get a website. So I think that's a pretty good example as well of something that most people would consider web design a service. But Kelsey and her partner have turned this into a productized service where it's the same input, the same price, and the same output. It's just you get every client gets a different design sort of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when do you think it would make sense to go from having just a normal service, like offering web design or offering writing, to a productized service?
Yeah, I think you really need to feel pretty confident in what you're doing. So you need to have done it for a while. You need to have kind of learned the ins and outs organically and feel really comfortable teaching it to a group of people who maybe would be on the same tier as you. If you can't say yes to that, I think it's probably you need to wait a little bit longer. I will say it's really tempting when you're getting started. A lot of people like right off the bat want to launch a course or, you know, productize services right off the bat because it's another way to make money. But this is really kind of a expertise centric type of offering. So you really need to be confident in what it is that you're offering here. And it needs to be something that you've done a lot. So that you're comfortable with process-wise, too.
Yeah,
what about you?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I think it'd be, I don't think it's impossible, but I think it would be very difficult to start a productized service right from scratch. Like, I think having a bunch of experience doing that service, like if it was web design, like designing a bunch of websites for clients first before turning it into a productized service, I think is helpful because you're going to kind of see how long it takes you to do something, questions people have, reasons people come to you, common outcomes that people want. And then maybe you even start to see, oh, this type of client is a type of client that I really like working with, for one, but this type of client always needs something very similar. So maybe I can start offering like a website in a week for traditionally published authors with a book coming out, because their websites are going to need probably similar things, like an about page about the author, ways to buy it on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, maybe something, some reason for people to sign up so they can get that person's email address to send them like free stuff or offer a course or that sort of thing. So being able to figure out like, okay, what are the commonalities in the people who would want a service like this that's similar? Where it's not like I offer a website in a week and it could be an e-commerce store or it could be an author page. Like, it could be really hard to offer that without kind of eliminating a lot of variables and turning them into constants, I think is kind of the big thing there.
So essentially, you're noticing what services or jobs you do the most of. You're noticing the clients that come to you and what they're asking you to do. You're looking for the patterns and the type of work and in the scope of work, and then asking from that what can be turned into a specific process with specific deliverables and timing. So that's kind of an easy way to nail it down, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So tell me more, like, do you have another example that would kind of illustrate what this would look like?
Yeah, I do. So my buddy Lauren does websites in a week as well. It's kind of the same, but it's basically like a website in a week. And it uses Squarespace as well, which is really fast for running it. It's $8,500. Sorry, it's in 2 weeks. So it's always $8,500. It's always 2 weeks. And this works because she only takes on clients that need things from scratch as well. It's not like, oh, I'll redesign your website in 2 weeks. Like, that could be quite a bit of work. And it works because Lauren's done probably hundreds of projects for clients. So she knows her niche. She knows Squarespace really well. She knows what's possible and what isn't possible in 2 weeks. And she knows it works for a very specific type of clients, ones that can make decisions quickly. I think we've, as freelancers, we've all had clients who are like, waffles and whatever the opposite of a what's the opposite of a waffle?
Pancake.
Okay, there you go. So some clients who are pancakes, they make decisions fast. Some clients who are waffles who don't make decisions very fast. And I think the other thing that works really well for Lauren, even for Kelsey and Website of the Week, they both have portfolios of this is the type of work you can expect if you buy this productized service. So here's a portfolio. All of these things were done using this like productized service template. Now you would get the exact same thing, but done for you. So you would get a small website with a logo, no huge e-commerce, no massive multi-author blogs. So people can kind of get a sense of, okay, this is what I get when I buy this thing, because it's so rigid in process and in outcome that they need to kind of see what they get. And I think that's really important. This episode is brought to you by the fine folks at Monday.com. Their software is a central platform for teams to manage every detail of their work, from road mapping to tasks to sharing design or writing assets. Monday.com also integrates with major tools like Slack, Gmail, and Zapier.
They've currently got over 22,000 paying teams, from freelancers to bigger companies like WeWork, Uber, Wix, and even Adidas. Plan out your next client or collab on projects with other freelancers using their visual boards to map out deadlines, share assets for feedback, and plan your workload for each project. You can even use it to track leads for potential projects or follow-ups after a project is complete. You can be more productive because you don't have to train your clients to use their software.
Try it out today for free at monday.com/creativeclass, and creative class is all one word. You'll also receive 25% off any paid plan once the trial expires.
Yeah, I think that's appealing for the client too. So yeah. Like for me, one of the productized services I have is messaging strategy for SaaS companies. So a lot of the time I'll have companies come to me and they're getting ready to get started with content and they need things like a style guide and a, you know, basically just all the outline of what it is we're going to write, how it's going to sound, what our objectives are, things like that. Just a document that everybody can share and get on the same page, from writers to internal staff, stuff like that. And so it's the same thing. Like I have a template and it's literally, here's what you get. After we have our phone call and I do my research, here's what you can expect from this service. You will get this document that includes X, Y, and Z. Here's how much it costs. Here's how long it takes from start to finish. It's easy to replicate. So it's not like I'm reinventing the document from scratch every time. So yeah, I think that that's another good example of how you could take something that you do pretty regularly and turn it into a very specific offering, which is then like, it makes it super easy for the client too. Like, oh yeah, I need that exact thing. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm that type of person that could benefit from this. I need right. that exact thing. I want to say yes. And I think you hit on a really important point, and it's that if you're doing a productized service, you really need to have your process or process down to a science. Like you really need to know what every single step in it is, how long things are going to take. And you also need to be able to manage that expectation with clients. Like if you say you're going to do a website in a week, that's fine because I'm sure that you could do that. But you also need to be sure that the client is able to turn around what you need. Like even laying out, like you have these 3 hours in this afternoon to turn around any and all change requests for the mockup that I'm showing you, for the copy that I'm showing you. This is the time that you have to give feedback. If you don't give feedback in this window, we're not going to be able to get the project done in this set amount of time. Like, are you available this week? Because I think that's a common problem that clients have. They think that they're hiring a freelancer and they don't have to do any work. But a lot of times, like, you know this, I know this, a lot of freelancers know this. The client probably and that's what I used to tell clients, like, if you're hiring me, you're probably going to have as much work to do as I am to get this website off the ground, to get this website launched. So do you have the time in your schedule to do this thing? Like if I'm doing a website for you in a week, or if I'm writing a content strategy plan for you this week, do you have time to work on this with me? Because I can't just do it all and give it to you. That's not going to result in the best possible use of anyone's time. So I think being able to communicate to clients how much work on their end is required is like a make or break for this, for sure.
Yeah. And if you can be very specific about what it is you need from them, that's going to be helpful for them, because then they can realistically wrap their mind around what your expectations are, what essentially their expectations are for the project as well. And then they either can hop on board or say, maybe I should do this a little bit later. Which is fine too. That's okay.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that that kind of brings up is, like, for productized services, I think it's really beneficial to book these in advance. So if you're doing, say, and I'll just keep using this example, like the website in a week example. If you're doing a website in a week, a client probably has a bunch of stuff that they have to get ready in order to get it done in that quick sprint. So if you say your website in a week will be booked when I get the contract signed and a down payment, which don't put anything in your calendar until those two things happen. But if you say that and it's like, okay, your website in a week starts in 4 weeks. Here's all of the things you need to do before the project starts. So at 4 weeks out, do this. 3 weeks out, do this. 2 weeks out, do this. 1 week out, do this. And I found that that was always beneficial. Like, the more that I had to book projects weeks or months in advance, the more I found that it was actually beneficial to the client. It was beneficial to position it as a benefit to a client.
Yes.
Where, yes, you have to wait, but here are all the things you need to do while you wait. So when we start, we can just hit the ground running. What about you? When you're booking things in advance, do you kind of give marching orders for clients?
Yeah, pretty much, because otherwise it can really just very quickly fall off the rails, and the client can also fall off the face of the earth and you never hear from them again. So yeah, having those things that you need up front, even if it's a smaller scale project, like what I'm talking about with the writing, if you say I need X, Y, and Z before we can even get started, and then once we are started, I need another X, Y, and Z, laying those out right off the bat, just make sure that, like I said, everybody's on board, that you can move through the project at the pace that you've guaranteed. Because I don't think the clients also realize sometimes that when they're late to give you stuff, that it makes you look bad to them. They're just like, oh, yeah, well, she said it was going to be done in a week, but it actually took, you know, 3 weeks. And I don't know what happened, when really it's their delay that caused the 3 week problem. Oh, so, yeah, it's good for both of you. And that's, I think that's the bottom line there.
Yeah. In my process doc, it also lays out what the client is responsible for delivering to me. And it's outlined in a gray box. Like, this is where you have to give me something in my process. This is what I'm going to be doing now. This is what you're going to be doing now. Otherwise, we can't move on to the next step. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're productizing a service, yeah, you have to be so absolutely clear with people. This is what I need to move forward. Otherwise, mm-hmm. And I think locking in a time in the future with a down payment is always, because people are always like, oh, yeah, I totally want to do that project. And then it's like start date. And they're like, yeah, maybe I'll delay. But if it's like, if you say like, you get in my calendar when I get money from you, it's legit. Like, you don't know that they're going to, you know, that they're more likely to have their shit together to start if you get a down payment. I always say the down payment. I always tell people, like, if you want my calendar, I need a down payment. Mm-hmm. That will prove to me that we can do the project together, that you're serious about the project. Cause I am, if I'm going to be working on it.
Yeah. And people are busy. I mean, people who are internal at a company or that are leading a brand or, you know, that are not freelancers, essentially, they have a lot going on and a lot on their plate. So really, by asking those things and making those demands in a way, you're helping them, because mm-hmm. you're helping them stay accountable to the project. You're helping ensure things move forward. And it might feel like, oh man, this is me really being kind of bossy at the beginning of this project, but it's not. It's good for both of you.
Yeah.
It's really sets the project up for success, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever experimented with or done tiers in your pricing for any of the services or productized services that you've offered?
Yeah, with the messaging strategy document, I do have a tier 1 and 2, and 1 is pretty basic and 2 is a bit more involved, where you get additional supplemental documents created for it. And so it really just depends on what it is that they need and how much they have already. But having those two offerings is nice, because then it's a higher ticket item if they need that. And if it's a lower ticket item, they feel like they're getting a bargain.
Do you have a sense for how many times, like, which one sells more? The higher tier, the lower tier?
It really just depends, because some of these companies already have some stuff created. And I don't think it's ever really a money sell. It's more like, this is what we need.
These are the deliverables we need. This is the package we want to take. Yeah, that makes sense.
How about you?
My tier was always consulting. Either hire me to talk to you about what you need to do, or hire me to do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So consulting was always the bottom tier, and the actual production work, like designing and coding a website, was the higher tier. And what I found as well, and this is why I think a lot of freelancers charge for things like road mapping sessions, where they like work with a client to come up with a strategy. Because every time I did that, the client would be, and even if it was just like, you're hiring me to help with the strategy or with the road mapping, every single time the client would be like, can I just hire you to do the work now? Like, it was always a lead. It was always basically a lead from like, okay, you know what you're doing because you told me how to do what I need to do. Can you just do the work now?
That's smart.
So every single time it led to that. So having two tiers worked really well for me. And I've read studies where having like a 1x, a 2.2x, and a 5x tier always makes people choose the middle tier. So you have a base price times 2.2, a base price times 5. I think it was mm-hmm. Ryan Delk, when he worked at Gumroad, figured this out, where that was like the optimal selling point, because you kind of anchor the highest tier and mm-hmm. the lowest tier. So people are like, well, I need more than the lowest tier. That higher tier seems really expensive, but that middle tier seems like such good value. So they'll pick that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see that working in services. I don't think it's necessary totally. But I also think that when you're laying out tiers or laying out options for people, is really important to show and to state that the deliverables, like, and this kind of brings up the negotiation conversation, which I didn't even think we were going to talk about in this, but I think it's useful now to where we're at, where people can be like, well, can I get this tier for this tier's price? And it's, I was always of the impression that if you wanted a lower price, that was fine, but then deliverables would come off So yes, it would, yes. I won't negotiate on price unless we're negotiating on deliverables too. And I was always happy to do that. Like sometimes things can be broken up into, well, phase one, let's just do these things. And then we'll do phase two in like 2 or 3 months. But if the price is cheaper, then the deliverables are also less. Like that sheet is just getting shorter and shorter if you're making the money go down.
I think a lot of beginner freelancers are kind of intimidated by that. I know I was when I got started. I just felt like, oh, well, they must know more than I do. So I probably should knock those things off and give them the cheaper price. And I'll still do the same amount of work. It's fine. But it's not fine. And it does take more time. And so if they're asking for a discount, that's take that as an invitation to negotiate on your end as well. Don't just let them set the table for you. You know, you have a say in it as well.
Exactly. And if you want to negotiate, that's your call. If you don't want to negotiate, that's totally fine too. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If they're negotiating, that means you can too. You can say, this is my price. I don't budge on that price. I think this is a good value. Or you can say like, well, maybe this time we've worked together for 10 years. Maybe this time I will give you a little bit of a discount kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. All right, good. I think the only other thing I would add is you don't have to go 100% into productized services from services. You can dabble. You can say, this is my best service for like the last couple of years. Maybe I want to try to make it productized and just offer that to one or two people. See if it works. If it doesn't work, no harm, no foul. Just go back to doing your services. If it does work and you find that you're making more money in less time, maybe that's something that you should pursue further. Hey friends, thanks for listening to the Creative Class Podcast.
If you enjoyed the show, please help us out by leaving a rating or review over on iTunes and be sure to subscribe too.
And if you like this podcast, you'll also like our online course, The Creative Class, and you can find out more at creativeclass.co.
See you next time.